Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Judeans gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Please be seated. You do not belong. You do not belong. Those are the most fearful of words to be spoken. You do not belong. Over the years, I have often cited a book, favorite book of mine, entitled The General Theory of Love. It's written by three psychiatrists. They claim, with a lot of evidence, and you can think about this yourselves, that the greatest pain we experience in life is to be excluded, to be rejected, to be marginalized, to be told, "You don't belong." There's a wonderful Irish poet, John O'Donohue. Valerie and I heard him speak between the Twin Towers years ago in New York. He wrote that all the suffering that we experience comes from the dark valley of broken belonging, of being told you do not belong. I've just begun reading a biography, maybe you've heard, of a seminal Jewish theologian, philosopher. His name is Martin Buber. He writes that all real life is in meeting one another. He doesn't mean council meetings or meetings at work, but he means engaging in one another's life. He means that real life, being alive, is being connected to one another, being present to one another, belonging to others and to God. When Buber himself was 3 years old, his mother deserted his family. He never saw her again. How abandoned he must have felt. And he did. He longed to see his mother just one more time anyway. He longed to belong. He longed for his lost relationship to be restored, to be repaired. In this pain, in his broken belonging, we might say, he came to see and experience that life, that restoration, that resurrection even, has to do with meeting others. A real attention, a real care, a true presence, to be in dialogue that recognizes the value, the worth, the humanity of the other, all of those whom we encounter. Now in our lesson today, very apt lesson, Jesus says this about those who belong to him. They will have eternal life. They will never be abandoned or stolen. Jesus will never let any of us go. Jesus gives this life of relationship, of care with us, with one another, and we trust and believe this day with Chloe, a life that which is greater than all else. For Jesus belongs to God, and is one with God. But isn't it strange or almost chilling that in this encounter that Jesus has with those who are gathered around him in the temple as they stroll in that portico, he says, "You do not belong." Is it because these Jesus doesn't want? Is it simply that they don't believe that he's the Messiah? Why would Jesus say to anyone, "You don't belong"? The problem is, the struggle we all face. It is a question that we all have in our hearts. Who does belong? Who is my neighbor? Who is my friend? They choose not to belong because they don't believe the testimony of Jesus' works. That's a really important statement, I think, there. They don't believe the testimony, the proclamation of Jesus' works, his life, his encountering, his welcome, his embrace of all people. The works that Jesus does in the Creator's name testify to this expanded and inclusive sense of belonging. And Jesus has been plain spoken about it. But if one understands belonging to be exclusive, that some are in and others are out, then Jesus himself becomes a threat and an outsider. As my contemporary citations indicated at the beginning of the sermon, this issue is a long-lasting problem. And from the perspective of Jesus and God with whom Jesus is one, it is a matter of life and death, then, now, and from the beginning. So as we reflect on our own social, political, theological life today, we are deeply concerned about who belongs. Isn't it the national question that we address every morning? I think our president addresses it every morning. And he ain't including everybody, I hate to say. We are concerned with the vilification of immigrants who seek to belong, who themselves long for life. The practical matter of how many newcomers a society can absorb cannot be solved by policies of dehumanization and stereotyping, by saying that you don't belong because of who you are. That is to choose death. Or we might note the rise of supremacy groups, particular white supremacists, we might even say Christian supremacists, who claim that the country, the nation, belongs to a certain kind. That we see these similar attitudes and political movements arise in numerous nations about the world, even in many Western democracies, speaks of the universality of the problem Jesus is identifying 2,000 years ago and putting his finger on then. We might say, if we have any kind of understanding of original sin, that is it. That Jesus would die on the cross because he announced good news of God's welcome to all tells us of the depth of the human fear of opening our hearts to others, that we would kill the one who proclaims good news to all people. You don't belong in ultimate terms. But it also announces from the very depths of God's heart the commitment to open God's care and heart and the realm and community of God to all people, a commitment to life that cannot be killed by our fear, a commitment to life such that we begin our services these days with the announcement that Christ is risen, a commitment that leads us to, in our own hearts, our lives, our communities, and in our baptism, to experience the risen Christ, to trust our life is in him forevermore. So we proclaim Christ is risen and present among us to all whom we meet, all who meet us in forgiveness, all whom we welcome at the table, everyone, and to trust the testimony of Jesus' own work, a work that was inclusive and redemptive of all people. And today, most clearly, we are reminded and experience once more in baptism. For today God proclaims that Chloe, Elizabeth, belongs to the community of God, to the shared gift of life that God gives to all of us. In the waters of baptism, God meets her with the promise of life and belonging. And we all, in our own words, earlier spoken, welcome her as we ourselves have been welcomed by God, as God's own. And we announce and testify and confess also that she is a child of God, belonging. Chloe, you belong. So we welcome her as we are all called to welcome those who are given to us by God, those whom we meet, those who are gifts in our lives. And as the community of God, we have promised, as we did, to encourage her to trust Jesus' testimony, to trust his work of forgiveness, of welcome, and the promise of life for all who long for acceptance, who long to belong to the community of God. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.